I think Tim Stout, Stout on Sports, from our affiliate, The Game, 7:30 a.m. in Lansing. He is standing by. Stout on Sports, weekday mornings at 10 a.m. Huge Show live, weekday afternoons at 3. How you doing, Timmy?
Good, Bill. Nice day today. Good, you know, great time of year. A lot going on. Very, very good. Good to be with you.
Yeah, felt like summer this past weekend, especially in the afternoon, Saturday and Sunday. Hitting the golf ball up at Tullymore is a beautiful thing.
That's a good deal you got there. It must be a big thrill for them to have a star like you up there and representing him, too. And to your point, I would suggest of all the great courses and resorts in Michigan, I would heartily endorse that, too, because it's in the middle of the state, so people from the south and the north doesn't take too long to get there, and it's worth it when you get there, as you know, believe me.
Well said. Thank you, Tim Stout from Stout on Sports. All right, Timmy, your thoughts on Coach Smith, the transfer portal, what Izzo's putting together with his basketball roster, what's the latest on the Spartans?
Well, I would think, Bill, for anybody whose business is trying to figure out preseason, you know, predictions in college football, especially in the world we live in today, it's, you know, doing these magazines and that. How in the world do you come up with a roster? Michigan State added two transfer guys today on defense, one from Cincinnati and one from Nebraska. I don't know that either one of them, if you go by their background, is anything close to a four-star, five-star, but they do have some experience. One of them's from Godwin Heights over in your area. He's a defensive lineman who played at Nebraska. So the two guys are in the portal coming to Michigan State. I mean, the roster transfer situation on this portal is just mind-boggling. Since spring practice ended, all those guys went through spring practice at Michigan State, 5 weeks of that. And then after all that, 25 guys or so, whatever the number is exactly, get the portal. Some of them were walk-ons, yes. So that wasn't a big surprise. But a number of them were not walk-ons. And their two best or highly regarded defensive players, those guys, you know, headed elsewhere, and they would have been the studs on defense at least to start the year. So to pin down exactly what Michigan State, or for that matter, any other team, is going to have based off what you know from spring practice, to me, is absolutely guesswork. And furthermore, State's quarterback, you know, this Aiden Childs, so I guess he's the guy. Providing that, you know, August practice goes well and he doesn't get hurt. You know, you're talking about a guy who's starting, who has very little experience and was not the starter at Oregon State. On the basketball side, I think Tom has taken the one portal player. I'd be surprised if he takes another, and he may end up going with one fewer scholarship, 12 rather than 13, you know, this coming winter. They're more predictable as to what their roster is going to be. But to me, Bill, what is unpredictable is how are the players returning better or different from what they were at the end of this last season when they finished 20-15, because they lost four key parts to that team. That's 80% of the players that are on the floor at any given time. If those guys improve, well, then, you know, then that maybe that'll show improvement. If they don't, you know, I think it's going to be an issue for them. I mean, I think those guys, given who they've lost and given who's back, the guys that are back, who I just hear, you know, some of these media guys around here think that they talk about these guys coming back like they're all NBA, and they're not. They weren't good enough in a number of ways to play significant minutes and score a lot this last season, and that team lost 15 games. Furthermore, I think the Big Ten across the board is going to be better, with the exception of Purdue and possibly Illinois this coming winter. So, but it's a ways off again, too, Bill. As you know, Michigan isn't done putting its team together, and they look better. And a lot of these other Big Ten teams, they're adding players, you know, day, week, month. And so getting to the start of all this, I think, is extremely difficult to do, far more questionable than what the pro teams have in the pro sports, at least in my opinion anyway.
Tim Stout, Stout on Sports on The Game, 7:30 a.m. in Lansing, weekday mornings, 10 a.m. TV guy, Lansing State Journal newspaper, contributor at times, Huge Show live in Lansing, weekdays at 3. I just had Chris Ballas on from thewolverine.com to start this hour. He said Michigan football has an $11.7 million team player budget this year. Have you heard anything, the type of money that Izzo or now Coach Smith has to work with connected to Spartan basketball and football?
I heard today, but it's not confirmed, I heard today the amount of money in name, image, and likeness that Aiden Childs, the quarterback, is getting. I have no way of knowing whether it's accurate. It would be around the going rate for other quarterbacks around the country. I think name, image, and likeness money down the road is going to be an issue at Michigan State. And I say that, Bill, only because, I don't know, I probably have talked to four or five donors who I've known well, and those guys are happy to contribute to Michigan State. They're happy to help with the facilities. They're happy to help with scholarships. And almost across the board, they want nothing to do with paying salaries or thereabout to college athletes, especially if they have to do it year after year after year. Now, I've heard that that's an issue with some of the Michigan donors as well, but I don't know that for a fact. I mean, that's all just exactly what you hear. Where all that money comes, if that's accurate, $11 million, does that mean you can get $11 million, if not more, next year and the year after and the year after? Michigan State just added a name, image, and likeness job last week. So there's another salary, more health insurance, whatever, just to add a guy. Now, that guy's got to go out. He's got to, in my opinion, just basically beg for people to provide money to pay the players so that we can get the players to win. I mean, at times, I almost feel like I'm in dreamland the way we used to analyze college sports, but analyzing them today is such a guess as to what's going to be new tomorrow, next week, next month, next season, next winter. And I mean, even in these conferences and leagues, Bill, I mean, if we're getting closer to consolidation of the major schools, especially in football, does that mean that we're not going to see very long 18-team Big Ten football conferences, conference championship games, and all that moving forward because of the direction that it appears that this sport and the two major college sports are headed? And nobody seems to deny that either. No one seems to deny that, oh, it's all going to work out fine. Everybody, this is all going to work out great. I don't see that at all. But how it's going to work out would be just wild speculation that I really don't have.
You know, instead of recruiting the same players over and over or paying for new players, and you mentioned boosters from both schools, I've heard the same thing. Also, one note, my guess is Childs are going right for quarterbacks is around $1 million, give or take. So
I think from what I hear, Bill, I think you're right there knocking on devil's door.
Yeah, I've heard all that. But what was interesting towards the middle of last week, I think it was, or early last week, there's talk about the NCAA floating the idea of NIL contracts. So when, just like you used to accept a letter of intent, you're going to accept an NIL deal. But if you transfer or leave early, you know, your money comes to you for every year you're there. It will be interesting if that rule is ever applied. And then do they become employees? They being football and basketball players and other athletes that get NIL money, and that changes the entire game with taxation. You start to look at the scholarships and the value there. I mean, I love how people claim these athletes are getting nothing. What is it a year to go to Michigan State? 45, 50 grand?
Something, that's an in-state student, okay? That's in-state. Okay. I mean, I know what it cost me to have have one of my kids go to Purdue. And that was, 10, 15 years ago. And I can remember the $135,000 that it cost me for an out-of-state parent. And I remember the resentment that I tended to have as a parent listening to others say that the athletes don't get a thing.
Amen.
It all goes to the coaches. And I'm amongst the 99.9% of the parents of common students who, you know, have to figure out a way to pay for their kids to get the exact same education an athlete could get. The other thing about all this, Bill, is I still want to see where all this money is going to come from. Michigan State, by a FOIA request of the Detroit newspapers a year ago, reportedly lost $11 million or so in athletics. That money must be paid back somehow, some way to the school. So then they say, well, they're going to create a budget, you know, where about $20 million a year is going to go to the football, basketball, whatever the thing is. First of all, I think that's going to get contested in court by the women and by Title IX people, because it's a litigious world, and I think that'll probably play a part. And then the other thing is, if you're already in debt to begin with, where are you going to find the extra money as it is to go with more added expense? I mean, what gets cut? Is it varsity sports that get cut? Is it coaches get cut? Is it personnel that gets cut? I mean, how is all this going to play out where people think this money just falls out of the sky? Maybe it does some places like Georgia, where you can pay the coach $130 million, which stains it for everybody who thinks that everybody's got money to burn. Georgia apparently does. Western Michigan is just trying to keep the school open. Eastern Michigan's trying to keep the school open. Later for athletics, they're just trying to keep the school open. Where are they going to be able to come up with all this over and above what they already have? And that's assuming that they get to go on the road and get clobbered by the major Division I power so that they can get $1.5 million for every road game like that they play. What if those get cut out in the new deal? I mean, I just think it's so perilous looking forward to see how this is going to play out. And I think the courts, the Supreme Court, they're all going to get their say in this somehow, some way moving forward. Where it's all going to be in my lifetime before it ends, I have no idea. But it sure ain't like it was in when this all started some years back, no question about it.
Sammy, I think it's going on the path of the athletes becoming employees, and then they can get around Title IX, because Title IX is still in the workplace there, but it won't be in terms of equal money spent on each athlete in each sport, but that will be down the road. I got to get to a network. T.O., Tim, always good to talk with you, man. We'll catch up. I want to talk about this more in detail later, okay?
Okay, Billy, no problem. Have a great day. Thanks for calling on the show. Stay in touch.